from the KEI Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, a visit to the loudest section at the State Fair, the Midway. First, the latest on Ebola in Dallas. Nina Pham, the first of the two Dallas nurses to be diagnosed with Ebola, is being moved from Dallas to the National Institutes of Health in suburban Maryland. KERA's Lauren Silverman has been following the story all day. Lauren, how did this come about?
So this all happened really fast, and it's important to say it doesn't have to do with her health condition. She's still doing well. The thing is, Presbyterian only has so many beds where an Ebola patient can be safely treated, and Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins wants to keep all of those beds open in case more healthcare workers get sick. Remember, there are still at least 75 other healthcare workers who had contact with that first Ebola patient, Thomas Eric Duncan.
Now, Lauren, there was also a congressional hearing today on Ebola. What we hear?
Well, an apology, a big apology from Dr. Daniel Varga. He's the chief clinical officer for the company that owns Presbyterian.
Unfortunately, in our initial treatment of Mr. Duncan, despite our best intentions and a highly skilled medical team, we made mistakes. We did not correctly diagnose his symptoms as those of Ebola, and we are deeply sorry.
I understand that apology came after a Presbyterian nurse spoke out this morning.
Yes, on NBC's Today Show, a nurse, her name is Brianna Aguirre, said before Duncan arrived, administrators at Texas Health Presbyterian never talked about how the staff should handle an Ebola case. Now, Aguirre was not on the team that cared for Duncan, but she did care for her coworker, Nina Pham, and she said she was shocked by the protective gear that left skin exposed.
I just couldn't believe it. You know, in the second week of an Ebola crisis at my hospital, the only gear they're offering us at that time is gear that is allowing our necks to be uncovered.
And Justin, there's one more development today in the case of the other nurse, Amber Vinson. The CDC is now tracking passengers on both legs of her flight to Cleveland last weekend. That could double the number of people it has to track.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
In Fort Worth, the hometown of Nina Pham, friends of her family did not expect to hear the 26-year-old nurse is being transferred to the NIH. KERA's Dwiley Sikautau visited with some of them and has this report.
Christina Huang is a close church friend of the family. When she heard Nina Pham was moving out of Texas, it surprised her.
I really don't know why she'd been moved to Maryland, if she's going to get better care or special care. That's good. I'm happy for her, and we continue to pray for her and her family.
Another church member, Hung Cao, says she's still upset that Nina Pham got sick, but...
I'm praying for her every day. God bless her. I always hope she's okay and she can go back to work.
Pham is being moved so that Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital can be prepared for more possible cases of Ebola, says Judge Clay Jenkins. He's been coordinating the county's disaster and emergency preparedness response.
I don't want anyone who needs to go to the emergency room to be reluctant to go to the emergency room. So I'm directing all people with a West African travel history and a fever to be taken to Presby.
At least 75 other healthcare workers are being monitored for possible exposure to the deadly virus. Dwiley Sikautau, KERA News.
By the time you pay for admission, parking, and a corny dog, a day at the State Fair of Texas is getting pricey. Throw in a few attempts at a midway game, and you can practically hear the dollars flying from your wallet. Ahead of the fair's final weekend, KERA's Courtney Collins chronicles the quest for a giant neon gorilla.
One word never applied to the midway at the State Fair of Texas? Quiet. Bells and whistles aside, game operators are pretty chatty. They pick on tall guys, daring them to sink a basket. Or heckle parents with kids in tow, promising a prize for the whole family.
Hey, come on, let's load them up now. It's fun for everyone. It takes two to play.
One game operator named Andre Evans has been at the fair for a quarter century. Today, he's manning an old favorite, that game where you try to smash a plate with a baseball. He's so charming, he's got a lot of takers, and his philosophy is pretty simple.
What I want my people to do is have $5 worth of fun, win, lose, or draw. So I'm going to give you an example, okay? Come on up. Hey, watch this pretty girl right here. Watch this. She's about to tear up something.
The pretty girl in question missed.
Watch this. Oh!
But Evans made the experience memorable nonetheless.
Number two got it. Number two got it.
Over at Kentucky Derby, a game where how accurately you roll a ball into a hole determines how fast your racehorse charges, Lucy Jones was lucky number two.
This is the first time I've played in probably 30 years.
Her winning strategy?
I threw it fast and often.
And her prize, a stuffed gizmo toy. You know, the good little creature from the 1984 movie Gremlins. Hisham El-Sherbini scored a gizmo too after smashing a plate to smithereens with a well-aimed pitch.
I went back to my baseball, peewee baseball days. I used to be a catcher. And did I ever tell you guys I played high school football too?
The array of plush prizes at this year's fair is diverse, to say the least. Texas Longhorns dressed in head-to-toe burnt orange, fluorescent penguins wearing snow caps, oversized Curious George dolls, chubby cows, even giant stuffed bananas wearing lipstick. Elizabeth Correa wasn't going to quit squirting water at a target until all three of her kids had pink and white unicorns as big as toddlers.
You have a lot of chance, 10% you're going to win. We'll just keep trying until everybody gets one.
And that's what game operators are banking on. As long as fairgoers have a stuffed Scooby-Doo or inflatable sword in their sights, there will always be someone to ring that bell.
And 3, 2, 1, shoot 'em.
Courtney Collins, KERA News.
And finally today, the Ebola crisis has overshadowed every other news story in Texas, including next month's election. KERA's Shelley Koffler looks at where that leaves candidates.
Hello, Judge Jenkins.
Hi, how are you?
At noon Thursday, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins began taping a radio interview with NPR's Melissa Block. As the public official coordinating the local response for Ebola, Jenkins had been on the go since 4:30 a.m., mapping out strategy, appearing on TV shows, attending meetings with hospital staff, as well as state and federal partners. Republican Ron Natinsky, who wants to unseat Jenkins in less than 3 weeks, has accused him of using Ebola to grandstand and of doing a poor job of protecting the public's health.
I think we should have initially quarantined the people who were suspected as possibly being in contact.
Jenkins mostly ignores Natinsky's jabs.
My view is it's not about politics or re-election right now. It's about the public health.
While Natinsky has tried to make the Ebola response an issue in his uphill campaign, the media is barely covering that. In fact, most local and statewide candidates are getting far less coverage than usual. Few reporters showed up Wednesday in North Texas to hear Republican candidate for Governor Greg Abbott, or Thursday to cover Leticia Vandepute, the Democrat running for lieutenant governor. SMU political science professor Matthew Wilson says Ebola has sucked the oxygen out of the room for other stories.
It's really hard to get people's attention off of Ebola, which tends to kind of freeze the races where they were before this story broke.
Wilson's SMU colleague, Professor Cal Gilson, says that's bad news for Democrat Wendy Davis, who may have been gaining on Abbott when the Ebola crisis began.
This might have squashed that because people's attention is gone, and Greg Abbott has $30 million to close out the last 3 weeks. She had 5.7.
Gilson says the result on November 4th may be a historic low turnout. Shelley Koffler, KERA News.
For the evening, mostly clear skies. Should be a low near 60. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 86. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a cool low around 59. It's 87 degrees in Dallas, 88 in Fort Worth and Tyler, and 88 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.